Good morning. I don't know why I always consider myself a tough guy until I get up here, and then I start turning into a baby. That's the Spirit of God on my life. And the concern I have for lost souls. This is a very special service for me. Last year I was supposed to be here, and thank God Brother Bob Jones took my place, but I got a parasite in China. Went up to the hospital in June and didn't know how close I was to death, but heaven wasn't ready for me. You know what's amazing though? I got a good friend in Little Rock, and he knows I've been to China several times, and when he heard how sick I was and that I went into acute renal failure and AFib and all that happened, and he found out I was going back, he said, "Why? Why would you go back? Why would you go over there again? You nearly died." The answer is simple. The last thing Jesus said before he left his followers, "So I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." You see, we have a command. We have a commission. And Jesus is very serious. Today we live in a world that's in a mess, but yet we are so blessed. Matthew chapter 13, verse 16, before I start, would all the Gideons and auxiliary please stand up, as members of this church? I want you to see who does the work here. I never do anything here. I'm always gone. I don't even attend the prayer breakfast, and they razz me about that all the time. But folks, I travel so much, I just don't make everything. But these are the ones that do all the work. I'm so thankful for it. But Matthew 13, 16 says, "Blessed are your eyes because you see, and your ears because you hear." All through the New Testament, Jesus is finally saying, all through, if you have ears to hear, then hear. If you have eyes to see, then see. And I used to think, what does that mean? Well, it simply means this. People are seeing and hearing, but they're not hearing and seeing what they need to hear. We're on the verge of Jesus Christ returning. On the very verge. We're in the last days, and yet billions of people are not seeing and are not hearing. And that's where our responsibility comes in, is to warn them. If you own just one Bible, you're abundantly blessed. One third of the world does not have one. If you woke up this morning with more health and illness, you're more blessed than the million who will not survive this week. If you've never experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, or the pangs of starvation, you're ahead of 500 million people in the world. If you can attend church meeting without fear of harassment, arrest, torture, or death, you're more blessed than 3 billion people in this world. If you have food in your refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof overhead, and a place to sleep, you're richer than 75% of the world. If you have money in the bank, in your wallet, spare change in a distant place, you're among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. You have a 4.4% chance of being born in the United States of America. We're truly blessed. But yet, folks, our world's in a mess. In just this hour that I'm here, we will take the lives of 5,280 babies. I checked the world abortion clock yesterday. As of yesterday, since January 1st to March 17th, the world has aborted over 8 million babies. And we say aborted, folks. We have murdered them. Just murdered them. Ripped them out of the wombs. And you go with all the rest of the stuff that's going on. This world is crazy. We've lost all our morality. We've lost everything. And what's the answer, folks? The answer is Jesus Christ. The answer is to get the word of God out. And when Jesus said, "I want you to go into all the world," one of the best ways I've found to do that is through Gideon's International. Now, when the disciples were standing there and Jesus was looking at them, and I can't imagine what it was like for him as he's looking at that motley crew. He's fixing to turn over the gospel to this bunch of guys standing in front of him. Motley looking crew. And he says, the last thing he says to them is the most important thing he can say. And he said, "I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel." Now, I've tried to put myself in that place. What would I have done? What would be my response? I don't have a car. I have no money. I have nothing but a pair of sandals and a road to walk down. And you know what's amazing? They didn't even have this. Didn't have a Bible. Never had a Bible. Yet what did they do? They turned the world upside down. They went. They sacrificed. And we know the 12 apostles gave their lives for the gospel, folks. Are we to do any less? Are we exempt from this commission that God called? No. Now, what is your world? Everybody has a different world. I've had the opportunity to travel to many different countries. God has opened the door for me to travel. Your world may be your neighbor. It may be your coworker. I can't tell you what your world is, but I'm gonna tell you this, you need to be witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, recently, I just got back from China. Spent 2 weeks over. I was able to take my wife. She got to see some of the tourist stuff while we were working. China is an unbelievable place. 1.3 billion people. And when I saw this slide, I did some refiguring because there's about 7 billion people on the planet now. So it's about 20% of the world's population. But what I was amazed at, when you include Alaska as our landmass, the United States is actually bigger. This is what China looks like everywhere you go. I wish you could just experience. I took Anita this time and she got to travel some and see some of the sites. Every city is completely just overbuilt. There's not just hundreds, there's not just thousands. I believe there's hundreds of thousands of these buildings everywhere, all over China, and half of them are empty. Many of them are still under construction. Trains everywhere and nothing happening. So I don't know what the outcome is gonna come over there. Big malls, I've actually seen entire cities, totally landscaped, beautiful, everything there. I mean, everything, the total city, malls, banks, apartments, landscape, streetlights, everything, and not one person in that city. So I don't know what's gonna happen in China, but this is, I just wanted you to see what something looks like. That's some of the food that's there. Now this next slide, Jeff Terry, are you here? He's probably ashamed to show up. That's from him. I said, Jeff, why did you stick that slide in there? The only slides I could show, why would you put that one? He said, well, Arnie, if they're not paying attention when they see that, they're all gonna pay attention. So now that I've got your attention, that's an elephant clan. Now, one thing we got to do, which was really heartwarming, was during World War II, the Japanese went into China and just absolutely treated those people like they were dogs. They slaughtered them, they abused them, they did everything in the world to them. But we didn't know, I didn't know until I went there, that they had two camps where they took all the foreigners in China. They were in China and they took them to the north and to the south camp. This is the south camp. And we got to visit that concentration camp. And one of the celebrities was in that camp. Y'all remember the movie Chariots of Fire? Eric Liddell, he was in that camp. And he died right before they freed him. He got his wife and two children out. She was pregnant, so he's had three daughters, but he didn't make it. And this is one of his famous quotes. I run the first half of the race as fast as I can, and then with God's help, I run the second half faster. Folks, that's a good slogan, isn't it? I'm gonna adopt that as my Christian walk. I wanna run this last half faster than I did the first half. That's some of the churches. The churches over there, it's unbelievable. They're tightening now in China. I can't go into the details, but it's getting a lot tighter. I don't know how much longer we'll be able to continue to do what we're doing there as outside force with religion. That's some of the size churches we're able to walk through. There's the Bibles. We always have them stacked up there right before the service. There we have the opportunity to go and give out everyone in the church a Bible. It's different anywhere in the world. Giddings International doesn't do that anywhere except in China. It's a communist country, and that's the only place we can do it is in the church. And we challenge them to give the Bibles away to their friends and loved ones and neighbors who don't know Christ. And so they're so excited to do that. Just unbelievable. I hope this works. I want you to experience a little bit of what I experience when I'm there. After every church service, they hold up the Bibles. We take pictures, we walk through. And they are so thrilled that we're there. They just love us to death. They treat us with royalty. They shoot off firecrackers, all kind of stuff. But I want you just to experience that little bit of the prayer. Hearing them pray with such fervency that they pray at every service. Now, I brought this picture to you because I want that hug to be for each and every one of you. There was about 400 something people saved at that service. And after it's over, this little girl went up and just grabbed me. It just hugged me. It's so frustrating when you can't talk to them. Ni-hi and she-she is all I know. Hello and thank you. And yet, she didn't have to say a word. She was so thrilled we came and shared the gospel. And I hope you remember her little face, because one of these days you'll see her. And I'll tell you what, I think she's going to give you a hug too. She'll hug you just like she hugged me. So precious. Now, as you know, we're here for Giddings International. I'm very excited the fact that we're in over 200 countries and territories around the world. There's not hardly a place on this planet that Giddings International is not involved placing scriptures, over 80 million copies of God's word every year. The folks, the need is so great. There's so many people. About the only place we're not involved in is your Middle Eastern countries, and you understand why we cannot be there. They won't let us in. Now, one of our jobs is to witness. When we went on my trip, my bucket list trip to Israel last fall, we met this couple at the airport, Steve and Estelle. And as we got in the van with them to drive out to the ship, he introduces her as his fiance. I'm thinking, now, here we're on a Christian cruise, and this guy's here with his fiance, and they're going to the, you know, I thought, well, that just don't add up too good, you know. And so Nita got to talk to her and found out that she had a daughter who had been sick for a long time and suddenly died. And so she canceled the wedding. This was going to be their honeymoon, but she canceled the wedding, so they're still here. And so what happened was, the first night on the cruise, to show you how God works, they assigned seating, Cliff. They said, when we got there, they said, you're going to assign you a seat tonight. After tonight, you can sit anywhere in that place you want to, but tonight, you're going to have to sit where we tell you. And so they set me and Anita down. It wasn't long till Steve and Estelle came, and there they set us right beside them. And so we started talking, and I got in real quick to find out about his Christian life. And he said, well, you know, Arnie, he said, I can't understand the Bible. You know, Mike, that tells you something, doesn't it? I said, okay. And he kept talking, and he told me he'd watched a movie recently where this orphanage, when the kids got saved, they went out and they rung the bell when they came to know Christ. He said, I don't know when to ring the bell. I said, Steve, I need to talk to you tomorrow as soon as possible. So the next day, we had our session, and Woodrow Crowe preached, and I pulled Steve over to the side, and I said, Steve, can you tell me a time in your life? You don't have to give me the date, the hour, or anything, just a time when you prayed to receive Christ and asked him to forgive you, invite him in your life, and you wanted to live for him. He dropped his head, and he said, well, no. He said, I got baptized once. I said, well, that's a good start, but that's not the answer. So I pulled my little Gideon Testament out and went through the scriptures in the back, you know, wrote the wages of sin is death, John 3:16, all those famous scriptures. And as I read them, I said, do you believe this, Steve? Yes, yes, yes. I said, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take this little Bible and take your fiance and go back to your room, and I want you to go over these scriptures, and if you believe what that says, I want you to get on your knees and ask God to forgive you and save your soul. And I said, once you do that, you will have rung the bell. He said, okay. 6 o'clock that night, we're in the dining room. I see him coming. He gets about 10 feet from me, and he jerks out his little testament that I'd given him. There's the place in the back where you sign, accepted Jesus Christ. He flipped that open, and he said, I rang the bell. And boy, what a joy that was. You know what? That guy got saved. Next day, he was baptized in River Jordan. And then the next night, Nina and I stood there as they were married. So what a deal for him. But we try and be a witness, and so all of us have a chance. And we just have to keep our ears and eyes open, folks. There's people around us that give us clues all day long that tell us they don't know Jesus. We just need to speak up and share with them. This little guy. The thing I love about Gaines International is we have so many testimonies of people coming to Christ. This little guy's name was Otis Townsend. Otis Townsend was in the fifth grade. He came running home one day and he said, Mama, look, Mr. Gideon came to school and gave me a Bible. She said, well, that's great, Otis. And he said, so he'd take it and he put it on his little dresser and kept it right there wrapped up. Wasn't long till the town drunk got saved, and he would go to the show every Saturday and he'd give out candy and invite the boys and girls to Sunday school. And one Sunday he invited Otis to come to Sunday school. He went home and said, Mama, can I go to Sunday school with Mr. Jack? Said he's come to know Jesus and wants us to go to Sunday school. She said, okay. So he'd get his little testament, he'd go. Went several Sundays, and then it was vacation Bible school. Otis come running in the door one day, said, Mama, I've been saved. And she said, well, that's good, Otis. He said, Mama, let me show you how to be saved. And she said, no, Otis, I don't have time for that, Otis. And Otis went and put his little Bible up. He'd go to church every Sunday by himself. And he's always asked his mother, Mother, can I show you how to be shaved? And she put him off. She said, one day in the kitchen, she couldn't take it any longer. So she knelt down in the kitchen and said, God, give me what Otis has got. I want you as my Savior. Now, here's the thing about it. When Otis come running in that day, he come running in the kitchen, he looked up to his mother, and he said, Mama, you've been saved, haven't you? He could tell by the look on her face. And she came to know Christ. Then he started in on his daddy. The first Sunday they went to church, Willa Townsend, I've been with her several times. She said she started down the aisle for the invitation. She felt something behind her as her oldest boy. He said, Mama, I was just waiting on you to go. See, Otis had five brothers. The father got saved. All the brothers started serving the Lord. Then one day, Willa said she got a call from school. Said, Otis is not feeling well. And so she went and picked him up and said she took him to the doctor and said, well, I think you need to take him over to Hattiesburg and check this thing out. Well, to make a long story short, Otis had cancer. They operated on him, brought him home. She said he made the highest grades of anybody in 7th grade class and passed. But it wasn't long until the cancer came back. She said, I'll never forget those days at the hospital. See, Otis told his mother he's going to be the greatest missionary who ever lived. And he would buy candy on his paper route and give out the kids along the paper route and invite them to Sunday school. And in a store, wherever they was, he walked up to people and said, sir, do you know Jesus? Ma'am, you know Jesus? And Willa say, son, Otis, you're embarrassing them. You're embarrassing them. Well, that's before she got saved. He was embarrassing her, not them. But that's what kind of witness he was. And he witnessed all the doctors and nurses. And he got worse. I remember Willa telling me, she shared with me, sitting there one day, and Ray went out, the husband. Otis said, Mama, I hear a train. No, he said, Mama, I hear a choir. And Willa said, and her mom said, no, I think it's a train. He said, no, Mama, I hear a choir. About that time, Ray walked back in, and he said, Daddy, pick me up. He picked him up. And they both prayed that God would have his will. And Otis went to be with the Lord. All because Mr. Gideon went to school and gave out a little red testament to a little boy named Otis. One day you meet Otis. I don't understand God. I really don't. He probably would have been one of the greatest missionaries in the world. But God took him home when he's in the 7th grade, folks. That's why I love this ministry so much. It's because the testimonies we have and the people we meet come to know Jesus Christ. Another man that I met down in Guatemala. God's word is perfect. And as a scripture, God is more powerful than anything in the world. I love it when God said he created the heavens and the earth. You know what God did? He simply spoke. Mike, when he spoke, and went, poof, there it all was. What a God we have. He named all the stars. Named them. And Ricky knows how many hair we have on our head. What kind of God is that? Unbelievable God. And so his word never returns void. It's there at the right place at the right time. Every one of us has heard the word of God and it's penetrated our heart and our soul and caused us conviction, so we came to know Christ. Alberto was a young football player, soccer player. He's playing on the field one day and he fell and stuck a stob in his arm. Well, he didn't go to the doctor for 2 or 3 days, and when he finally got him to the doctor, he had gangrene in his arm. And they took him in, they cut it off. He wanted to be a professional soccer player. Well, they cut his arm off. He woke up and he was so angry when he saw his arm was gone. There was a nurse there that had a Gideon Testament. She said, son, you need to read this. He took it and he threw it over against the wall and hit the floor and fell to the floor. She went back, picked it up, stuck it in his face and said, son, I told you, you need to read this, and walked out of the room. Well, this is somehow with his left hand, he opened the Testament and it fell in Matthew 5, verse 30. He never looked at a scripture in his life. Matthew 5, verse 30, and this is what it said. If your right hand offend thee, cut it off. Folks, that is pretty powerful. He said it just hit him right in the heart. He went on reading, accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Today, he's pastor one of the largest churches in Guatemala City. All because someone went to hospital, some auxiliary lady, gave a white nurse testament out to a nurse, and she shared it with a young man who just had his arm cut off, folks. And God's perfect timing, perfect word, penetrated his heart, and now he has one of the largest churches in Guatemala City. And we're all a part of that. Folks, I'm gonna tell you something. One of these days, we're gonna stand at the bema seat of Christ. Not the great white throne judgment. The bema seat. We won't be judged for our sins. That's the great white throne judgment. But will we be judged by Jesus Christ as he looks to our face and our eyes? We will be judged for the life we lived as a Christian. He says, I have my rewards with me, and I will give them to you at the time. It won't be condemnation, but we're going to have to give an account. And look at everything we've done. Why we did it? Was it from the heart? Was it for the pat on the back? Why did you do this for me? And oh, he'll know. And he'll reward us accordingly. And I know we all want to be able to look him right in the eye and be proud of how we've served him. Be proud of what we've done. Be proud that he was able to use us. But folks, there's gonna be a lot of Christians. They ain't gonna be able to say that. Because they get their ticket to heaven. To them, that's all they want. And they live their life just like they want to. Never giving up anything. Never really trying to find out what God has planned for them. The plan for their life. So I challenge you today, folks. Let's do all we can while we can. 7 billion people on the planet. Conservatively, 4.6 billion don't know him. We all have children and grandchildren. I can't imagine God who has 7 billion children. And when he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, he said, I want you to go tell them about me. Tell them what I did. Tell them I paid for their sins. I died a horrible death so they could be forgiven. Tell them they can have eternal life. Tell them they don't have to go to hell. But yet today, 4.6 billion people don't know him. That gives us a great responsibility in these last days. To simplify it for you, what's 4.6 billion people, Mike? Can you see that? You can't do it, can you? Can you see the Dallas Cowboys Stadium with 100,000 people in it in your mind? You can visualize that, can't you? It would take 480 and 60,000 stadiums full. Equal 4.6 billion. God's heart wants to see them all come to Him. And that's why we have the responsibility as this nation. I told you how blessed we are. We have the money, the technology, and the manpower to reach this world for Christ. And I'm so thankful I'm in a church that's doing everything possible to do that. I go to a lot of churches, folks. Ichabod has been written on a bunch of them. You never feel the Spirit at all. Man, how marvelous, how precious. When we were singing that, I just thought, oh, just wanted to cry. Thinking how blessed we are that we know Jesus. When I was in China, I'm gonna have to close very quickly. When I was in China, what I did, I had one church. I said, just stand up for me, would you please? They all stood up through the interpreter. I want y'all to do this, everybody stand. Now, I want us to quote John 3:16 together, okay? Ready? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you, you can be seated. I wanted to hear that in Chinese. And I said, you got 1.3 billion people here in your nation. You got the largest population of any nation on the face of the earth. By all statistics, in the near future, China will have the largest Christian population of any nation. And I said, with that, you have the largest responsibility because you just quoted John 3:16, and most of your people have never heard it, they don't know it, and you need to tell them. Folks, we take that for granted, don't we? We just all stood up and quoted it. We know it. What if you didn't know that? What if you didn't know? What would your life be like if you didn't know Jesus loved you? Folks, I'm telling you, it'd be horrible is what it'd be. That's why the world's such a mess. That's why they do all the stuff they do. They're looking for what we have. And that's why I love Gideon's International much, because we place in the Word of God in the traffic lanes of life, all these places, schools, prisons, jails, military, hospitals, fire stations, all those places where people can come to know Christ. And I close with this, if I can find the letter. We're gonna take an offering here in a minute. My grandkids have blessed my heart so many times. As you give this morning, we'll take it, we'll place it immediately in the scriptures and place them around the world. But my grandkids over the years have been so faithful to give. I was gonna show you the rest of those slides if I can find my deal. Let me show them to you right quick. We placed 2 billion. That's what I've experienced many times. We run out. You can see their little faces falling on their knees to receive them. That little girl didn't get one because she's too young. I promised her we'd come back. Well, I'm here this morning. It's always hard for me to speak in my own church. But you know, I spoke in Branson about 11 years in a row. Finally, about the sixth or seventh year, I said, how many remember what I said last year? Not a hand was raised. So I said, well, it don't matter what I say this year. They don't remember it anyway. But anyway, let me just share with you very quickly. Let me read this letter from one of my granddaughters. My kids have given, they brought me $100 bills. They brought me, one brought me $320. Two girls count all their change, brought me over $300. Whenever they hear me share, they go home and they clean their piggy banks out and bring it to granddad. But this is one, and I want you to just feel her heart. She said, I want to give you $100 for Bibles. I will not use that for a more better thing. I want it to let people know about Jesus and God. This is the right thing to do with it because I would spend it on something not as important. I won't say which one that was because they've all given. So this morning, folks, I can't tell you what to give. I really can't. Just give what the Lord lays on your heart. Case are $130. One Bible's about $1.30 or scripture. The Bibles are placed in hotels, and motels are about $5. Just give as God lays on your heart. And I promise you, over 200,000 men and women around the world will be excited to receive the scriptures. These other countries, we have to ship them to them. They don't have the money to buy them themselves. They can't wait to get them and go place them in the hands of the little boys and girls in their country so they'll come to know Christ. I thank you for joining hands with us, for allowing me to come this morning. I thank the pastor and the church for allowing me to speak. And I just want to tell you how much I love each and every one of you. And I thank you for praying me when I'm gone so much. I get a lot of flack because I'm not here a lot. I'm gone. But I'm going to tell you what, folks. What I'm doing is important. And I'm out there raising funds for little boys and girls and scriptures to be placed in the hands of people so they'll come to know Christ. Let's bow our heads. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus and what he means. And Father, I thank you for this church and for the powerful impact it has around the world. For so many people come to know Christ because of this church and the mission trips and all that we do. And Father, for the support of Gideon's International, Lord, as they give funds and we buy scriptures and place hands of people around the world. Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for them. Father, I am so glad I'm part of a church that has a heart for lost souls, that has a heart that wants to serve you, a heart that loves you with all their heart. Father, now I thank you, Lord, for this morning. I thank you for the offering, for the scriptures we've placed around the world because of what we've done today. And one day we'll look back on this day and we'll see the eternal value of what we've done. And then when we stand before you at the Bema seat, Father, we'll be able to say, Lord, we sent scriptures all over the world for you. Thank you for the opportunity. God bless. Amen.